Welcome to the Focus Today podcast with Perry Atkinson.
Well, welcome back. And to further illustrate and to emphasize this day, I am so honored to have back with us Dr. Adam Rasmussen. He's a fellow there at the Cultural Research Center and associate professor of humanities at Arizona Christian University. Dr. Rasmussen draws upon 25 years of experience in Christian education to inspire students to thrive under the lordship of Christ in all aspects of their life. His research interests include biblical literacy, educational ministries, and, of course, Christian apologetics. And you can go to culturalresearchcenter.org is the website, culturalresearchcenter.org. Dr. Rasmussen, good to see you again. How are you, friend?
Doing very well, Perry. How are you?
Good. Thanks for your time. Thank you for your time. National Day of Prayer, been around for a little while, but yet it's new to America. How significant should we consider this day?
I'm just so touched by the person that came in right before us and just talking about our country and our citizenship here and how important it is. But even more important is our citizenship in heaven. And yes, we've had the National Day of Prayer for a while here. Some point to Truman, others point to Reagan. It goes back even further to George Washington and Abraham Lincoln calling on us to pray to our great God and as a nation, repent and seek his face. I think prayer is key and central to what it means to be a Christian and what it means to be a citizen of the United States of America.
We face this day unlike any other time in history. Something's desperately wrong with the world and with our nation. And how would you put a net around all of these concerns and put it into a prayer?
Well, I think the most important prayer we can pray as believers is to return to our love for God. It's amazing when we think about God's love for us, that he, first of all, created us, and when we rebelled against him, he sent his son Jesus to be the only way of salvation, and Jesus gave his life that we could have eternal life. So I think the most important prayer we can pray is how much we love God, and we need to get back to loving God as number one in our lives. And I think that passages like 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, when my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their sins, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. God's number one priority is the heart of his people. And anyone is welcome to follow Jesus, of course. That gospel call goes out to everyone. But when we return with our number one concern in life is to love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. When that is our number one concern in prayer, all the blessings flow from that. So I think that would be the number one problem that we're facing in this country is that we have, like the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy, we've become lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And we have so many blessings in this country. But the number one blessing is our freedom to worship and to worship God. And we should, as Christians, pray, oh, Lord, please restore to me the joy of my salvation and may my salvation in Christ be my number one priority and then bless all peoples because of that.
Dr. Rasmussen, do you think we have reached a point of recognizing if we, his people, will humble ourselves, next line, turn from our wicked ways, turn from our sin. Do you think we have reached a desperation level in America based upon what's happening in the culture to recognize that the turnaround America is in the hearts of the believers?
Well, I sure hope so. I mean, that is our only rescue point is God himself. And a return to biblical principles. It's amazing to me how much we can tolerate just all of the problems in our lives. And we can point to a lot of them, right? Mm-hmm. In education, in the economy, in the political system, just down the line, all the social ills that we're seeing. we have to recognize that we can't save ourselves. We need a spiritual renewal, and that comes from outside of ourselves. It comes from God. And of course, it's a Spirit's work. It's God's Spirit working in His people, and we've seen that through the great movements in world history, the early church, during the Middle Ages, during the time of the Reformation, the Great Awakening times that we've seen in the 1730s, the early and late 1800s, even in the 1970s. And so it's that wonderful thing that happens when people return to God and to His love. But on the other hand, if we're left up to ourselves and to our own devices, we're going to see all of the problems that you and I have talked about so much. And we're never meant really as human beings to live this life on our own. We're supposed to live in dependence of our great Creator, God.
You know, I, doing this show through the years, and especially in the last couple of years, everybody's become so anxious, polarized, and angry and frustrated. They want to blame everybody. sooner or later, we're going to put all this on somebody. And what really upsets me about that is that it's easy to blame the church, and we're not perfect. We've made a lot of mistakes. But when you look back on this, have we forgotten, or do we believe in what it really means to have a biblical worldview? Or do we just have bits and pieces of it, and we apply it as we feel fit?
Well, our research at the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University with Dr. George Barna shows us that while there are 66% of Americans who claim in some way to be a Christian, only 4% of American adults actually have an integrated biblical worldview. And Perry, we're not talking about having, a doctoral degree in Bible. We're just talking about some of these basic understandings that used to be taught in Sunday school. So only 4% of Americans actually live according to Scripture with those beliefs and behaviors. Now, they may have some of them, but they're not what we would call integrated disciples. So there's a lot of learning to be done, even in our pews, let alone the landscape of all America. So yes, I would agree with you that we've drifted from our biblical moorings. Right now in America, the most popular religious idea or concept is syncretism. 92% of Americans are syncretists, and this is just a very subjective blend, borrowing from a lot of different worldviews, and it's very contradictory. People might have some claims from Christianity, but they reject other claims of the Bible. And in those places, they might pick and choose from secularism or Marxism or those kind of things. And because we don't have a consistent worldview, we don't operate and make choices in a consistent manner. And in the same way, we look at our own lives and we look at lives collectively, and we see all these contradictions and all of these problems from, divorce rate, abortion, children born out of wedlock, people being unsatisfied with their jobs. All of this comes back to our worldview, which is really quite messed up, even in the church. So we can't assume that if somebody is going to church, that makes them a Christian any more than standing in a garage would make you a car. I mean, just we have to really examine ourselves, get back to this idea of our own hearts. And are we loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? And are we loving our neighbor as ourselves? And you know what, Perry? None of us does that perfectly.
Right.
So we all have this need to come back to God today on the prayer and to say, oh, Lord, you have loved me, and help me to love you back and to love others. And we rely on God, not just ourselves.
Before I take a break, let me ask one quick question. How did syncretism get into the church? I mean, at the end of the day, if we're lacking in biblical knowledge, we drop the ball somewhere. If we replace basic biblical knowledge with syncretism, how did that happen, Coach?
Okay, I think it's always been there, unfortunately. When you look at the New Testament documents, you can see that Paul had to deal with this in Colossians, and then in the letter of John to the churches in Revelation, those seven churches, five of them received a rebuke from Jesus. Two of them were doing pretty well, but they were under persecution. So I think it's a problem that the human heart has. We continually make these idols. In America, in particular, people are subjectivists. They would much rather make up their own mind and be their own authority on things rather than to submit to the Bible and to God as the authority. So in America, it's very pronounced. And I think in the church, we've kind of let culture lead the way instead of coming back to Scripture and the pulpit being the authority.
Well said. Let me take a quick break. So honored to have with us today Dr. Adam Rasmussen, and he's with the Cultural Research Center there at Arizona Christian University. You can go to culturalresearchcenter.org is the website. There's a picture of the landing page. You get a lot there, and you may want to consider this university first class. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
We'll be back to this week's interview in just a few seconds. In the meantime, we want to let you know that you can watch this interview, plus many more exclusive interviews that happen this week on the Dove's Daily TV and radio show by visiting our website, thedove.us. And while you're there, sign up for our free daily devotional, The Word for You Today. 3 months of daily readings that will connect you with God's Word. Now, back to the show.
Okay, welcome back, and so honored on this special day to have with us Dr. Adam Rasmussen. He's a fellow there at the Cultural Research Center and associate professor of humanities at Arizona Christian University. Just so much to have him and appreciate. He's certainly involved in biblical literacy, educational ministries, and Christian apologetics, and they do have a great website, culturalresearchcenter.org, and we're talking about biblical worldview and the things that he certainly deals with at the university. Back to syncretism just for a moment, Dr. Rasmussen. I know that when you guys were uncovering this, apparently you identified 10 of the most common perspectives that kind of get mixed up, if I can put it that way. Can you share those with us quickly?
Yes, we looked at 14 different worldviews, the biblical worldview being the one that we're constantly measuring, but there are several others. Okay, so we have naturalism. Let me get these listed here. We have Islam, Judaism, moral therapeutic deism. That's quite a mouthful, huh? Nihilism, Marxism, secularism, Satanism, Eastern mysticism, Mormonism, Wicca, and animism. We've also just looked at agnosticism as well. So hopefully that answered your question.
How in the world do we get a little of each into something and call it okay?
Yeah, really. I think probably part of it has to do with the cosmopolitan nature of our country. And I think in many ways we would agree that's a good thing to let people have their ideas. The problem is we, in many ways, are failing in the marketplace of ideas of promoting the biblical worldview and lifestyle. And that's been part of what you and I have been talking about, having that great love for God just churn in our hearts and drive everything that we do. I think people just, they become apathetic or slothful or lazy, if you will, as it comes to the spiritual disciplines. And they end up swiping on their phones all day long and just not really in strong relationships with other believers. And after a while, you saw what happened with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. You know, those relationships are so key and central and important. And if we don't have a little discipline in our lives and work on those, then everything that's swirling around in the environment, we just take in. That's why in Romans 12:1, it says that we need to constantly renew our minds in Scripture and not to be conformed by the patterns of this world. What do you have to do to be conformed to the patterns of this world? Nothing. It just happens.
Well said. Trying to think how I can ask this question. Hopefully it comes out okay. But in my questioning of people that seem to be drifting away from the faith or they kind of get their theology mixed up, I ask them a simple question, and I'll ask it to you. Maybe you have a response to it. And that is, of course, you're a professor of scriptures. It probably happens to you all the time. But I ask people, when's the last time you read something in the Bible that stopped you dead in your tracks and you wept over it?
Oh, that's a great question. I love it.
And the reason I ask that question
is... Are you asking me personally?
Well, I guess we could. But in asking that question, I'm finding out something. And that is something got between them and the mystery of this working of the Holy Spirit into life through Scripture.
Yeah.
Something happened there. Something got in the way there. I don't know if I'm describing it right, but do you have a response?
Well, to make sure I understand your question is, you know, underneath it, we believe that God loves people and he wants to communicate with them. Today's the National Day of Prayer. Mm-hmm. And when we pray, that is us talking to God, telling him what we want, mm-hmm. primarily. Mm-hmm. And when we read Scripture, when it's taught to us, it's God speaking to us and us listening. And your question presupposes that. Like, mm-hmm. God wants to speak to you, and he speaks most clearly through Scripture. So, like, everybody quotes a part of John 8. They say, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But what they miss is Jesus said, if you remain in my word, you will prove to be my disciples, and the truth will set you free. So we need to remain in his word. And I think you're right. There needs to be a renewal in the pulpit and a renewal in our personal devotional lives and in the lives of people that don't yet believe in Christ as their Savior and Lord. They should be reading Scripture. This is the foundational text of all Western civilization. It is the highest moral book that is out there. It is. Yeah. And like you said, there's a disconnect. We've even studied, I don't remember the statistics, but you can go to our website. How many people are reading the Bible and answering that very question you're asking on a weekly basis? And we've measured that, how it compares with people that have a biblical worldview and those just in the general American population. It's a very, very important thing because God's word, the Bible, is how we know the Lord. And outside of that, scripturally speaking, that's idolatry. So we need to be in the word.
The reason I ask that question, because it would seem to me that if you are moved deeply by reading the Word, it would create an appetite to read more.
Oh, yes, it does. Oh, it's that wonderful longing that Lewis talked about. It's like we're not there yet. We know we're heading somewhere, and it's that longing to be with God, mm-hmm. that pain almost, that is the most pleasurable thing. It's like, it's that desire that you have when you're reading Scripture to know more and to keep going in that. And I think we all go through times where we're closer and further away, but God's always calling us onward and upward, isn't he? So there's room for all of us. And the Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So all of your listeners today, you and me, we have that opportunity. Like you said, when you're in Scripture, to grow even more. And I've heard someone say that prayer sometimes is the most difficult thing to start. But once you start, boy, it's the most difficult thing to stop because there's so much joy in walking closely with the Lord.
What little time I have left, Dr. Rasmussen, what would you say to pastors in possibly taking an audit to see if their church is rightfully biblically based?
Well, we're hopefully going to have something to service that from the Cultural Research Center. It's something we've been developing. I'm passionate about it, and I'm learning patience because there's a technical side to things. But some of the things that we measure with our students here at Arizona Christian University, well, they take this assessment every year. We've also replicated every year. Barna's done it since 95 in the United States proper, okay? But boy, wouldn't it be great to put in the hands of pastors some kind of assessment, a measurement to see where does my congregation land? I think that is a wonderful thing. And I think pastors can do that on their own, and they should. We should be looking at certain behaviors and cognitive understanding of Scripture. That's a really good thing to do.
One last question. We've watched a lot of major denominations divide over various issues, and most recently LGBTQ. And as stunning as all of that is, isn't that somewhat healthy too?
Well, yeah, I mean, the Lord is constantly pruning his church, and no church, like local church, no denomination is absolutely pure. What's really amazing to me is that in Ephesians chapter 5, and then in Jude, it talks about God presenting us blameless before him. When I look at the church and I look at my own life, I am not blameless, not on my own, but somehow he is going to, the true church, present us all at the end. And that's wonderful. In the meantime, there is a pruning. Jesus talks about it in John chapter 15.
Right.
Why does he do this? So that we can bear more fruit. And yes, I do agree. There is plenty of the world in the church. The church needs to be in the world, but the world should not be in the church. And when these splits are happening, I think your point is well taken, that many times that's a healthy thing.
Yeah, I don't like it, but on the other hand, it is a purification process. It's a little bumpy to go through. Poor pastors that have to go through it. Professor, it's a delight to have you, sir. I hope that we can stay connected. Let me share to our viewers and listeners, go to the culturalresearchcenter.org website. You might want to check out Arizona Christian University. With the research that's going on and Dr. Rasmussen and all of his great work. Thank you, my friend. Let's stay connected. I'd like to know how you're going to maybe help put together this audit. That kind of fascinates me. I'd like to know more about that when you get closer to it.
Me too. Thanks, Perry.
Thank you. God bless you, friend.
Thank you for listening to this week's Focus Today podcast. Remember, you can visit our website to check out all the interviews we did this week on our daily Focus Today TV show at thedove.us. And if you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate us and share it with your friends.